13th, 2012 Municipal Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. And let's begin with the invocation. Giorgio, can you help us with that?
Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance tonight as we review the cases before us, and that our decisions be just. Amen.
Amen. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Cuddy? Mrs. Brown?
I'm here.
Mr. Sparkman?
Here.
Giorgio?
Here.
Mrs. Wissels?
Here.
And Dale Bachman?
Here.
Mr. Bachman? We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Has the board had a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Make a motion, we accept.
Motion by Giorgio.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pass unanimous. And then Carol, if we can swear in the officers this evening.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
To please the board, Lorraine Kennedy, Dwayne Thomas, Charles Rich, Dan Baker, Jones Vo, and Rain Furring, accept the oath.
Okay. Matter of housekeeping, if you have a cell phone on you, if you would please silence it or turn it off for the duration of the meeting. And includes the board members.
I don't have one. I left mine at home.
I'm pretty sure I did, Lindsay. Okay, Chip, if there's somebody present that you'd like to present first, please do so.
Yes, sir. To please the board, we would accept the cases this evening in order of appearance here.
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, board members. My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm duly appointed code enforcement manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels of training, and I've been a code enforcement manager for more than 4 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this evening. Please, the board, we'd start with case COM 12-1478, page 3 at the top of your agenda. The City of Ocala versus Scott and Heather Smith, Wells Fargo Bank, a location of 4635 Northeast 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of section 34-141 through 145. Property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in defaults. The parcel ID is 2697-013-018. Legal service was obtained on 7-5-2012 for the notice of violation, and 8-16-17-2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6-28-2012 for the notice of violation, and 8-10-2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of your additional correspondence in the case, we've included a copy of the Les Pendants, the Sun Biz report, and a letter from the bank. For license requirements, we would require the property to be registered. This is a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy, and she responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint upon arrival, observed the property was in violation of the city's code and that it was overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy with the bank enabled the overgrown violation to be cleared. However, the bank has not complied with the registration requirements of the code. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. At the end of your presentation, we have included copies of photographs of the property as it's presently observed by Officer Kennedy. You observe that the overgrown condition has been cleared up. However, we still have the problem with the registration requirement.
Okay. Do we have somebody here representing
Wells Fargo? We do, and if you'd like, I'd read the staff recommendation into the record.
Yes, please. The
staff recommendation should be fined the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 34-141 through 145 and order them to, one, register the property as required by the property registration and maintenance ordinance, two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed with all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day, and the unpaid fine to accrue to result in a lien against the property. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. At this time, I call representation of the bank up.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good evening.
Are you an attorney representing Wells Fargo?
Yes. Or? Yes, I am. Susanna Johnson with Ronald R. Wolf & Associates on behalf of Wells Fargo.
Okay.
Yes, we did receive, my office did receive the notice of hearing to attend to this matter. As far as I can tell, after discussing it with my client, most of the property preservation issues have been secured. The property is secured as of August 21st, 2012. I do believe that the only issue outstanding at this time is the registration, which my client is currently working on, and the property is vacant.
Okay, how much longer are they going to need to get the registration completed?
Honestly, it should be soon. I know that my client representative is in the process of working on that and has been since the beginning of the month, so.
Okay, well, we're just looking for, we need a little more specific time is what we're looking for.
Okay.
I mean, does it take a week, 2 weeks? I mean, I think we're asking for 14 days.
Yes.
Okay. Can they get it completed within 14 days?
I can make sure that, I can tell them that they need to have it completed within 14 days, yes.
Okay. All right, so do you understand the staff recommendation as it was read?
I actually, he was talking very fast, so I couldn't hear everything he said.
Sorry. Would you want me to read it again to the record?
Well, it's already read in the record. No, just let me go through it real quick. Basically, it's they're giving you 14 days to register the properties required by the registration maintenance ordinance. If it's not completed within 14 days, a fine will begin at $50 per day.
Okay.
That unpaid fine would accrue and result in a lien against the property. And after 90 days, we would refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. That's the staff's recommendation. So what you're telling me is that you can make sure that it's paid within 14 days. And if that occurs, you have to make sure that code enforcement's notified so that they know that you're in compliance.
Okay.
Is that correct, Rich?
Yes, sir. And then we just have the cost of prosecution.
Yeah, and it would be doing the registration and the cost of the case cost would have to be done within 14 days.
Okay, so then cost of prosecution would be after the 14 days, obviously. So from today, I have 14 days to get the property registered in compliance with the ordinance. And then if it's not, then we're going to be facing the fines for prosecution and the $50 per day, correct?
Right, yeah. So, and right now the cost, yeah, I'm showing the cost of $137.51 for the cost of prosecution. So we would need that and the registration completed within 14 days.
Okay.
If it's not, and then it goes to fines and.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I make a motion to accept that.
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Georgia to accept the staff recommendation. We have a second by Latricia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It passes unanimous.
Great.
So just please make sure you get it within 14 days and notify code enforcement to make sure that they note it, that we're in compliance.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. If I could just ask the secretary to make sure that with their card, we send her a copy of the findings of fact.
Yep, I will do that.
If it pleases the board, we can move on to the second case on the agenda this evening, which would be at page 2, the top, middle of page 2 on your agenda. The City of Ocala, Officer Raymond Furring versus the estate of Fred and Elizabeth Bostick, a location at 825 Northwest 11th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida.
Is that, I'm sorry, is that 1821?
Yes.
I apologize for that. CUM 12, 1821.
Okay.
A violation of section 34-121, definition of an abandoned and derelict vehicle, and 34-122, abandoned and derelict vehicles. The parcel ID is 2570-302-301. Legal service was obtained on 8-15-2012. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the first findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code in that it has abandoned or derelict vehicles upon it. Additional investigation revealed the property was brought before the CEB in 2012 and found guilty for violation of code section 34-122, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the responsible respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violations remain. As part of your case findings, we've included photographs of the current conditions on the property. We have three vehicles that we're concerned with. The board may remember this on the previous case. There was a blue pickup truck city had to remove that particular vehicle. We still haven't been paid costs in that case, which has resulted in a lien. The staff recommendation in this case would be to find the respondent guilty of violating Code Section 34-122 as a repeat violator for Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes in order to, one, remove all abandoned, untagged, inoperable vehicles, and two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Furring is prepared to answer any questions of the board this evening, and a respondent is here to speak to this case. Okay. This time we can call him.
Does the board have any questions for the city at the moment?
Just quickly, you say display of building numbers is also a code violation.
The building numbers are a problem here. However, he was noticed for that. And the problem is the building numbers are not in compliance with the code. So we're going to ask that he fix that.
Okay,
they need to be a contrasting color and size in order for fire and police response.
Okay, that's not part of the staff recommendation, and it's not on the...
That's not.
On the cover. So, I mean, were they noted?
We will drop that subsection because it's been removed.
Do we need to drop, or do we have to?
We don't need to drop it.
There
was a typographical situation there. If the board's not interested in pursuing that, I understand that. We could pursue it at another date. We were hoping to just get more compliance with this respondent by saying, please take care of it. Obviously, they've chosen not to do so. But if we don't resolve that in this meeting and it continues to be a problem, we may be bringing it back.
Yeah, I think that unless we noticed it,
we have noticed it. The problem is it was mistyped from our presentation and the agenda. So if the board has a problem with it, we'll remove it. If the board doesn't have a problem with it, it was noticed and it was part of the notice of hearing.
Well, hang on a second then, because...
Is the house occupied?
Yes, by the respondent who's going to be speaking this evening.
I'm trying to find your notice. What page is that on?
The notice of violation and the notice of hearing.
Okay.
Are at the beginning of your presentation.
Okay, so notice of hearing and notice to appear that was dated August 13th, 2012 for this case. The violations noted were 34-121 definitions, 34-122 abandoned or derelict vehicles, and 82-443 display of building numbers.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so they've been noticed of it. Okay, that was my only concern. I didn't want it to be on the agenda and not... them not being noticed of it, so I think we should go ahead and consider this section 82-443 violation as well. But that's not a repeat violation, is
no,
it?
No, sir.
Okay, so that would be separate from the vehicles?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we are going to consider that as part of this case tonight. Okay.
So as an amendment, we would say repeat violator as to Chapter 34-122 of the code in 16204 state statute.
Okay. And that would be pay the cost of prosecution within 14 days, failing which fine of $500 per day based on the derelict vehicles, but on the display of building numbers, it would be $25.
Yes, sir.
Per day is what we would ask for.
That would be a typical recommendation.
Don't current compliance within 14 days.
But we generally don't ask for additional fine when we have the repeat violator fine. So,
well, but I don't want to do them $500 per day for that violation. That's not a...
No, but it would only be one fine of $500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it would only be for the derelict vehicles. It wouldn't be...
So you're not asking for a fine if they don't do the numbers?
No, sir. We would be bringing it back if we can't get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather just put it in there.
Okay.
It's
your decision.
Yeah, friendly amendment. Can I do that as the chairman, or does somebody else from the board have to?
Well, it's before you.
Yeah.
You either find them guilty or not, and then you either find them or not, because it's properly noticed before you.
Okay.
So,
yeah, then we
would just have to form the motion.
Yeah. I can deal with it. It's up to y'all, but I mean, it's now before you properly, so.
Okay.
I just treat like you would any other.
Okay.
Just a quick question, Chip, on the derelict vehicles. Were we able to identify those as having tags that were expired? Or does the picture seem a little distant?
I would have to defer to Officer Furring. In this case, generally, if it has an expired tag or no tag at all, it's considered prima facie evidence. Some of these do show a tag. Officer Furring was able to get the DMV information from what he said.
Oh, okay.
So I'll let him testify to that.
I was not able to go to the property and check, but I checked DMV information and there was no vehicle registered in this gentleman's name.
But if they belong to someone else and they happen to be there and they happen to be up to date, then how can we say that they're the property owners and fine them?
Well, our contention is the code says that it is a rebuttable prima facie evidence if it's not. If he would have allowed us to check when he was issued the notice of violation, he could have resolved this with the officer. Chose not to do so, therefore we're here now. If he can prove that they're all legally registered and operable, and call the officer for inspection within the specified time, he's not in any jeopardy.
But, I mean, we can bring a case against everybody if that's the case.
Chip, so even if one vehicle is unregistered, it still goes under the same?
Yes, sir.
So one vehicle doesn't have to be registered? If it isn't registered, it goes under that sign?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm saying one's wrecked, it's been covered, and the other one doesn't have any wheels on it right now.
The code requires them to be in enclosed, enclosed structure. In fact, the city attorney explained that last time.
Right.
The code actually requires a building.
Right.
And we've offered him some options previously.
Okay.
He chose not to make his himself available to those options, and we're back in the same place.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Any more questions for the city at the moment? Okay, is there Mr. Bostic present? Good evening, sir. If you could be sworn in, please.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Bostic, 825 Northwest 11th Avenue.
Thank you.
Sir, each one of these vehicles are registered with a legal tag and insurance. I tried to stop the officer Monday. He pulled up and took some pictures, and he kept going. The SUV is not even in the yard. That was my nephew's. He's a probation officer.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the front wheel is off. That car is repaired and gone. The blue and white Chevrolet is my son's. He's out of town. It was. It's not even parked there anymore. It's in the front of the camera, and I'm working on the camera. For the first thing, I got a, I guess he put something in the yard on the 10th, the 10th of August.
Okay.
And the reason I know that because I was in North Carolina, my son called me. The camera was wrecked on the 22nd of July. By the time we got through with the insurance and we went and picked it up, it was around the 27th or the 28th of July. That car still has a legal tag and registered on it. It's on the two cars in the yard, the blue and white Chevrolet and the Camry.
But I think they have to be in operating condition too.
The blue and white car is my son's. He's out of town.
Okay.
This is my parents' property.
Okay. What about the Camry? You said
that Camry belongs to the same person that the SUV does, probation officer, Mr. Antoine Woods, which is my nephew.
Okay.
It still has a legal tag on it, and I'm working on the car. I don't know where you get this, but the numbers on that house have been there for the last 20 years, and within the last 2 years, the emergency has been there. There's been no problem with those numbers, because my mother was taken out of the house 2 years ago by emergency.
Where are the numbers on the Where are the numbers on the house?
On the corner post, leading up to the side. The front door is on the side. The end post, that's where the numbers are at. I had another officer that Monday, let me see, after he put the warning in the yard, I called code enforcement and left a message trying to get a supervisor. Went to their voicemail, no one answered me. Later on that day, I called an officer in that area and I went and talked with him. He followed me to my house. He took pictures of the numbers, because when I went and showed him the paper, he said, well, there are the numbers right there. He took pictures of the numbers. He took pictures of each car and the tags. Matter of fact, at the time, it wasn't but two cars in the yard, which is the SUV and the Camry.
Okay. Do you remember the name of the officer that took the pictures? Or can you recognize him being here?
He's not here. He told me he wasn't here. The tall officer is not here. What's his name, sir?
Matt.
He said his name is Matt.
Okay.
He came and took pictures of everything, even when the SUV had been moved.
Okay.
He took them with the city camera, so they should have the pictures.
Okay, once the SUV was off the property, did you call for a re-inspection?
Well, I moved it. We repaired it Monday, and I moved it this week. I knew I was coming here this week, so no, I didn't.
Okay. All right.
But like I said, I tried to stop this man Monday. He went back. Matter of fact, he should know because he should have the pictures. He came by and took some more pictures Monday and Wednesday, and I tried to stop him. And every time I would holler at officer or code enforcement, he'd match the color, keep going. Man on end.
All right. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Bostic?
I mean, he's presented a case that they're registered, and I guess we have to verify this info.
Yeah, the
I would point out that registration alone does not resolve the problem of abandoned derelict vehicles. Vehicles by this code, which the code is in your presentation,
mm-hmm.
have to be in operating condition. So if the Camry is being repaired after an accident, the code does not allow
it's
that
to
occur
in condition.
On yard.
Right.
It's not operational.
The SUV and maybe the blue car.
If those are removed, that's fine. If he calls for the
re-inspection
and
we are
he cooperates with the officer, that's been the major problem. Last time we were out there, we had a police response
mm-hmm.
because of his attitude and his inability to communicate calmly and clear and concise and try to resolve the matter with the officer. Therefore, we're here.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Why do I have to move the blue and white car when there's nothing wrong with it? It's just my son left it in the yard while he's out of town.
Well,
it's a running, registered, legal car.
Okay, well then that would be okay.
We don't have to have it removed if we can just verify that.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing is that the officer needs to be able to get on to the property to verify it.
Well, if he would have stopped those 2 days, Monday and Wednesday, he could have verified that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're okay with him coming and verifying that the vehicles are registered?
I have no problem with
that. Okay. You also understand that the vehicle that's damaged, that's wrecked, is in violation of
okay.
the code.
Okay. How long, you tell me, if I wreck a car today, I can't take it in my yard and put it in my yard and work on it for 2 or 3 weeks?
5 days.
Sir?
5 days.
5 days.
5 days. Okay. I have no problem.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is that from your testimony is that we have one car, one vehicle that is probably the issue, and we also need you to allow the officer to come on and verify the other vehicle, and that the SUV is gone. So that's not an issue now, but we just need the re-inspection to make sure.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
But you already have pictures. He came out there yesterday, went on both sides of the road taking pictures.
Okay. So did you hear the staff's recommendation read at the beginning of the case?
No, I didn't.
Okay. They're wanting us to hear this case and that you're saying that you're in violation of the section 34-122, that's the vehicle code, as a repeat violator because we did find you guilty earlier this year, it was in April, of it. Remove and all abandoned, untagged, and inoperable vehicles, which in this case would be the Camry, the one that's damaged. Pay the cost of prosecution in the case all within 14 days. Now that means you have 5 days, I guess, to repair the vehicle under code or to get it off the property. So 14 days is actually giving you more time than what the code allows. Failing which, a fine of $500 a day in the city to do the work, which means if the car's not gone after 14 days, the city can come in and remove the vehicle, and the cost of doing that would also be associated with the case.
And the cost of prosecution is $93 currently.
Right. And that all has to be taken care of within 14 days.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more questions from the board?
Nope.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I have a motion to accept staff recommendation.
We have a motion from Donald. Do we have a second? Okay, second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It passes unanimous. So, sir, if you can just take care of that vehicle that's damaged, and if you can call for a re-inspection and just work with the officer, and I think we'll be good to go.
No problem.
All right, thank you very much.
You have a good attitude and stuff, though.
Next case, please.
That'll bring us to the top of page 5. CON 12-1435. The City of Ocala versus Kathy L. Weber. The case involving Officer James Vaux. I need just a moment to catch up with my case notes here. This is a violation. I apologize. This is at 1710 Southeast 38th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495. Weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2954-011-004. Legal service was obtained on 6/28/2012 for the notice of violation and 8/9/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 8/9/2012 for the notice of hearing, and the summary of findings are that Officer James Vaux responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it was overgrown. All attempts by Officer Vaux to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included copies of the photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Vaux is prepared to testify to any questions the board may have, and the staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating city code section 3495, order to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. We're prepared to answer any questions the board may have, and there is a respondent here to speak.
This is not an occupied building, right?
Officer Bill.
No, the property is vacant.
Is it in foreclosure?
No, it's not.
Any more questions for the city? Okay, we have Kathy Weber present. Could you come up, please? And be sworn in.
Please raise your right hand.
Hi.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
State your name and address for the record, please.
Kathy Weber, 2327 Southeast 18th Court, Ocala.
Thank you.
Go ahead and state your case.
Okay. My first time.
Yeah, that's okay.
I lost my husband, trying to make a brief, first week in January in 08. At that time, we had a prosperous business. When I went back to work, I found out that our $5 million rebar business had been bankrupt by family and all embezzled. I did everything I could. This house is a sinkhole house. And I live somewhere else. It's not fit. It was a beautiful house. And at this time, I have zero income. I'm supposed to be getting widow's pension, Social Security, you name it. I have not had a dime since my husband passed away. I kept it up and kept it up and used some savings that I had, and I sold jewelry and everything else because it was a disgrace. And I admit, that's a disgrace, because it's a beautiful house. But the back is just caved in and it's unsafe. So what I've been doing is I've been working with Jim and a total sweetheart with the city, Estelle Lenz, and another gal. And what I'm trying to do, since I keep paying to have it mowed, they take my money, they don't mow it.
It's just a mess. It's a nightmare. What I'm trying to do is donate it, which Estelle is all for, give it to the city, mow it down. She's already got estimates of a demolition company coming in because it's on a beautiful corner in a beautiful neighborhood, and donate it to the city as a park. And all I want out of it is a bench that I will put in memory of my husband. But I keep getting, I did, Jim will verify that I did keep it up as long as I had my money this year. And like I said, right now, I don't have a dime in my name. I've sold my jewelry and everything else. I lost my car. It's just ridiculous. It's paid for in cash. I would like to donate the land. And I will know Tuesday with my bankruptcy attorney, Herb Williams. You know, I'm going to get a, my mind went blank, who takes it over?
Trustee,
you got it. Okay, get with him, and they're going to see if it's okay. But all the conversations that I've had with Estelle, she's gung-ho, and she thinks it would be a nice thing. But I am ashamed of it. It was a beautiful home. It still is inside, but in the backyard, if somebody jumped the fence, they could get killed going back in there. I can't sell it, or I don't want to sell it, because it can't be insured. It's very dangerous. It's so deep. Well, I did. We before Chuck passed away, Farm Bureau, when it was insured, came out and put 600 yards of concrete into the hole. And they didn't hit, it's a chimney cavern, and it's like this. And they didn't hit the hole, and they hit it on the side, so that it's on a corner lot. This house over here will stay forever, and this house over here will stay forever. They never hit the hole.
Okay, ma'am, so what I'm hearing is that this is actually, this property is actually going to go to the city anyway.
Yeah, that's what I would like to do. I mean, because, and I have been keeping it up, but I am totally out of money and jewelry. This is horrible. The only way that I'm living is I recently, and this is TMI, but I met my high school boyfriend on Facebook, and he had a stroke, unfortunately. I caretake him, and he pays my bills. And that's the only way I'm surviving until I get some help.
Okay. Well, with the staff recommendation being the way it is, it sounds like the city would probably go in there and end up cleaning it up. We're going to have a lien. It's probably going to go to the city anyway. So
this would be just part of the process of getting taken care of in the neighborhood.
Right.
It would probably speed it up.
Yeah. That would make me happy because it's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. We don't need to do anything about demolish or anything like that at this point.
It would be a lien.
Motion to accept staff.
That's the problem. We're going to have to get it resolved from city staff if they intend to take the property. I don't know the status of that.
You can.
Why would the city take? I know we can make a park out of it. Why would we take property to the same?
I don't know that we would. So I don't know where the status of that's going.
If you don't mind me saying so, Estelle has already gotten estimates, and it's under, which I can't believe, it's under $5,000, which I think is a good deal. And they're going to mow it down and turn it into a city park.
Yeah, I'm not saying they will or won't. I'm just talking out loud.
Oh, okay.
He's talking points.
I'm just talking out loud. So what I'm concerned about, ma'am, is if they impose a fine, it's not going to be a lien just on this property. It's going to be a lien on all properties you own. I don't think that's what the board wants to do. So
yeah.
They're going to have to think that one through. Or at least, I don't know what the board wants to do, but I have to think that one through.
Well, I don't know how much time. How much time do you think it's going to get through this process with the city? Does she give you any kind of time frame?
I meet with the trustee on this coming Tuesday.
So if we continue this until next month?
Excuse me?
Can we continue until next month?
Well,
we could just fire guilty and have no fine with it.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is we're not going to be able to perfect the lien if this is a bankruptcy issue at any rate.
Are you already in bankruptcy? Have you already filed the notice of bankruptcy?
Oh, yeah.
Was this listed as an asset of the bankruptcy estate?
Well, yes, but it's paid for. It's
there could be a problem, right? Because the trust already has a problem. Right. The trust.
You need to. You're in bankruptcy.
Get us out of
yes.
And Mr. Williams represents you.
Yes, her.
Okay, you need to abate this until we find out what's going on. Because there's an automatic stay. Was an automatic stay issued? Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Generally, there is an automatic stay.
What is that?
We're not allowed to do what we're doing until the automatic stay's lifted.
Well, my big problem is, on a personal note, my honey has to get back up to North Carolina, Wilmington, because he's got to have major heart surgery.
Okay, can you reappear next month? Can they re-abate this until next month?
Can it be longer?
Well, it's up to the board.
The problem is, of course, we want to get it cut because of what it's doing in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I keep paying one of my neighbors, and he keeps pocketing the money. And
yeah, but do we fine her or not?
No.
You need to debate it. I don't know for how long, but at least till I can figure out what's going on with the bankruptcy. Because it's in bankruptcy, the bankruptcy court issues immediately what's called an automatic stay, and nobody's allowed to proceed against the debtor until the automatic stay is lifted. So the trustee can have time to
evaluate,
do whatever.
And generally, we would work with the trustee to get it.
How long do you need? 30, 60 days?
Well, I'll figure out tomorrow when I call Herb Williams and find out where we're at.
Let's go 30 days now.
If it could be 60, I would kiss your feet.
It would be easier. It would be. I would prefer 60 from the board and so yeah. to you. But I will find out tomorrow from Herb Williams where we're at.
Okay.
If there's no stay, then we can put it on back in 30 days. But
the problem is that you've got neighbors that are looking at this. We need something done.
I don't know what you're going to be able to do.
You can't order the city to do it
because mm-hmm. of the bankruptcy.
All right. So can we even look at this case because of that? Should we
no,
just
that's
stay?
Why we're having to stay.
Well,
because okay, just stay.
Until I figure out what's going on with the bankruptcy, we're obligated to take no
okay,
action.
So the city wants to withdraw it?
We're not withdrawing. It's just we got to put a table in it for 60 days.
It's
going to come back in, where are we, October, November. It'll come back at the November hearing.
Pat, when you talk to the trustee, can you ask him if there's something to be done about mowing it?
I won't talk to the trustee. I'll talk to the bankruptcy attorney. The trustee will be appointed, and all the trustee does is marshal all the assets of the bankrupt debtor and then try to sell them in order to pay off the creditors. So I don't even know that she'd be able to donate it to the city while it's in bankruptcy. If it's a bankruptcy asset, there's going to be a lengthy process where that gets figured out. So what case was this again?
COM 12-1435.
14-35.
Okay, so right now we're looking at table until November.
Or tabling until we have notification, and maybe as early as 30 days, according to.
No, right now we're giving, he wanted 60 days, so we're giving 60 days.
Will you call Mr. Williams tomorrow and tell him I'm calling you and ask him if you'd give him permission to talk to him about your case?
Oh, definitely.
Yes, 60 days.
Thank you. I'm just going to call and get the bankruptcy papers, but if I can talk to him about it, maybe I can.
Meanwhile, what do I do about my fiance with the heart surgery? I've got to get him back up there. And that's going to take at least 60 days.
I don't know what that
is. You don't have a problem with this group for another 60 days.
Okay, so I can get them back up there then?
If that's what they've agreed to.
Oh.
Not agreed to allow you to take him up here. You are a free person.
Yeah.
You can make what you want. But I believe what they're going to do is give you a continuance for 60 days.
Okay.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. We continue it for 60 days.
I'll second.
It's actually a motion to abate. Because we can't take any action whatsoever. So it's actually a motion to abate, if you would, please.
Okay, friendly amendment accepted. Majority O'Donnell, do you still second?
No.
Okay, a motion to abate, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimously.
Who did the second?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, appreciate it.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda. On bottom of page two. CO 112-1324. City of Ocala versus Sherry Lee Crawford, Sherry Lee Austin, and Dennis Austin, and Wells Fargo Bank, a location of 4409 Northeast 13th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 34141 through 145. Violation of property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. The partial ID is 2720-001-049. Legal service was obtained on 6/26/2012 for the notice of violation, 8/11 and 13/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6/25/2012 for the notice of violation and 8/10/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence of this case, we have a copy of the Les Pennants, a Sunbest report, and bankruptcy documents, and we would require property registration by the bank. Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code, again, that it was originally overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure. Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the overgrown violation to be cleared. However, the bank has not complied with the property registration requirements. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of the correspondence of this case, we've got photo exhibits at the end of your presentation, and the staff recommendation would be to find the respondents guilty of violating City Code Section 34141 through 145, order them to 1, register the property as required by the property registration and maintenance ordinance, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case, all within 14 days, failing which, fine of $50 per day, and any unpaid fine to accrue and result in a lien against the property. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Would point out that apparently there's a realtor also involved in this now, and they're trying to sell this property. Officer Kennedy is here and prepared to answer any questions, and the respondents are here. Part of the respondents are here.
All right, any questions for the city? Okay, do we have representation for Sherry Lee Crawford, Dennis W. Austin, Sherry Lee Austin, or Wells Fargo Bank? If both of you are going to speak, and then I need you both to be sworn in.
I'm sorry?
If both of you are going to speak, I need both of you to be sworn in, please.
Okay.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank
you. Please state your names and addresses for the record.
Cherie Austin, 3789 Southeast 133rd Place, Bellevue, Florida.
Thank you.
Dennis Austin, same address.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, what can you tell us?
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to say that I did file bankruptcy and my case was granted. And when I filed bankruptcy, I was not aware that I was to go maintain this property. And then I got a notice from Miss Lorraine, I don't know if she's here, and I don't know what she looks like, but stating that we were still responsible for maintaining the property. So I did send her a lot of paperwork with the bankruptcy and my attorney and everything, just so she had it in her records.
Well, it looks like the 3495 has been addressed, and that's really not the issue before us tonight. Right now, it's the bank needs to register the property with the city,
yeah.
And it doesn't really pertain to y'all. It's not going to affect you, really.
Okay. Well, we started maintaining it, and we've been cutting it every weekend, except for the exception of 2 weeks in August when we cut the grass the day before we left. We went up north to see my sister that was dying, and we cut it the day we got back. And it's been being cut every weekend, so it was just that 2 week period.
We appreciate you keeping up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
really do.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
So do we need to keep mowing this Do I need to keep loading up the lawnmower and taking it to the house? I order it every week.
Yeah, until, I guess, what, until the bank owns it and they...
Well, I think actually, you know, if the bankruptcy's been granted, then I think it's going to be the bank completely.
It's the bank's now?
Yeah.
Who's the property owner now?
Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo.
Owns it.
Keller Williams is the realtor.
You've had no obligation to vote at all.
Right.
Well, I had asked Ms. Lorraine that, and she said it was until they filed or something, Wells Fargo. And as far as I know, I don't know if they've done that or not.
They haven't, and that's why we brought them to this board.
Okay.
Just trying to push that along.
Okay, so are we still responsible for the upkeep?
I'm hearing no.
Well, who's the record title owner right now, Chip?
They're in the MPCA, but what I'm hearing from them is that Wells Fargo has completed their... This is not uncommon with Wells Fargo. They've completed their process, they're just not taking care of everything yet. Has Wells Fargo been going out there to cut it at all?
No, we've been cutting it.
Has Wells Fargo completed the foreclosure?
I'm sorry?
Did Wells Fargo complete the foreclosure?
They had until the September 1st to file the foreclosure, and they have not done that yet. Because I watched that, Keller Williams. They're doing it as a short sale, I was told.
So they're working for the bank then?
The trustee. So the bank, who hired the realtor?
I have no idea.
The trustee, the bank, again, the bankruptcy trustee?
No idea.
Has the bankruptcy been discharged?
Yes.
It's done and completed?
May 3rd.
And you still technically own the house?
No. We don't own the house.
I think it's just Wells Fargo at this point that's going to be responsible, and that's why we're...
How do you know you don't own the house? Was it a bankruptcy asset? Does the trustee own it in bankruptcy?
I don't understand all that, so I can't answer it truthfully.
Was that your homestead that you were living in?
Yes.
That was your original homestead?
Yes.
Okay. I suspect you still own it. Technically, you still own it. It hadn't been a foreclosure, and you're probably perfectly free to go move back into it and live there until they...
And you might be there for 3-4 years.
Well, they have, we call the realtor, and they have a deposit on the house since back in June.
Yeah, they're just waiting for closing date.
Okay.
And every time we call them, they say, well, it's, you know...
They're still waiting for a closing date.
Who was your bankruptcy attorney?
Robert Bruckman.
It's up to you. I suspect it's still in your name. I suspect you still own it. And until it's foreclosed in by the bank, you're still the owner. It's just your owner with a mortgage in default, like thousands of other people here in Marion County. So you might want to find out if you're still the owner, you're legally entitled to live there. But you're also legally responsible for the upkeep.
Okay. So we are responsible for upkeep.
If you own it.
Well, who's going to tell us whether she owns it?
Yeah, how do I find that out?
I don't know why you wouldn't. If it hadn't been foreclosed and it was your homestead, you wouldn't have been, you would continue to own it through the bankruptcy. So even when the bankruptcy is completed, the homestead property is exempt property from bankruptcy.
Just one more service.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but I think you still own it. If you were living there as your homestead, the bankruptcy doesn't take your ownership away because it was your homestead and it's a protected asset in bankruptcy. So you still own it, subject to a mortgage that's being, looks like going to be foreclosed. But until they actually foreclose it and have a sale and sell it to somebody or to the bank itself, you still own it, and you're still responsible for it.
Okay.
So, and if you still own it, I would call your bankruptcy attorney, you might want to consider going back there and living there until foreclosure goes through, or until the short sale gets done. I suspect the trustee, with your consent, though, listed it with the bankruptcy, or listed it with the realtor.
Well, I don't think we could get in it if we wanted to live in it, because they made I had to turn my keys over to an Keller Williams attorney, Wells Fargo bank attorney. So I took my bank keys into them. So.
Well, they'll tell you anything, but you may own it still. So if you own it, you're responsible for it.
Okay. So what you're saying is we all got to move back in the house and make them do something.
You could even apply for modification.
I can't give you legal advice. You need to find out from your attorney whether you own it or not. If you own it, it doesn't matter whether you gave them the keys or not. Unless you signed something that gave them authority over it, you know, as part of the bankruptcy workout, then that may have happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I did. I signed a paper.
Giving it back to
Wells Fargo.
Okay. A deed in lieu of foreclosure?
Yes.
Was it called a deed in lieu of foreclosure?
Yes.
Well, then you don't own it.
I don't know all this legal stuff.
If you sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure, you don't own it. The bank owns it, and you don't need to cut the grass.
Okay. Now, we've also had Wells Fargo give people houses, so make sure you've got your T's crossed and your I's dotted.
I would check all over your lawyer.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so back to the case at hand.
So legally, they're not responsible for cutting.
Well, all we're talking about is registration of the property, which the bank's thing, and really doesn't have anything to do with.
I'll make a motion. We accept the city's recommendation.
And we have a motion from Latricia. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Albertine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous. Okay, thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank
nice
you.
Evening. Yep.
No more loading the lawnmower.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If it pleases the board, we will go to the middle of page 3, COM 120113. You may have reached the stipulation in this case, which would make things go a little bit quicker. This is the City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy. I apologize. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Voice J. Mack, Ronald Mack, and Herbert Mack, a location 517 Southwest 27th Avenue. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. They have asked the city to grant them 90 days instead of 2 weeks, and they want to take care of this situation. As part of your presentation, the summary of the parcel ID, let me start at the beginning, violation of section 3495. The parcel ID is 22686-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 4/30/2012 for the notice of violation and 8/14 through the 24th of 2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 4/26/2012 for the notice of violation and 8/13/2012 for the notice of hearing. We've also provided findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case. Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to an Ocala Police Department complaint, and upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code and that it contains junk and debris. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the condition of the property. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any additional questions you may have. But the staff recommendation would be to find respondent guilty of violation of code section 3495 as a repeat violator per chapter 16204 of Florida statutes in order to 1. Cut and clean up the property, properly removing all of the debris, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case all within 90 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day in the city to complete the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment of that, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I think you all can see the problem that's going on there. Officer Thomas can testify to any questions you may have.
Is this a business, Chip?
Some of the work has been going on here.
Okay.
But what's happening is you have what's shown in on page 13, I guess it is, you have a wrecking yard there. I'm sorry, it's going to be the bottom of page 12, small wood salvage. And what's occurring is that folks have taken it upon themselves because that, for whatever reason, this wrecking yard kind of blocks the view of Mr. Mack's property from the street. So they pull in behind there and drop off hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tires. And of course, then people move into the tires and we have a lot of issues with the police because of that. The city's position here is that, we were getting a lot of cooperation initially, and then it basically stopped. And so Mr. Mack is here and prepared to testify, and I think that the city would be in agreement to give them more time due to the scope of the problem and the fact that he's actually living in Washington, D.C. and has to take care of this through family members.
Okay.
The city would agree to 90 days.
All right. Any questions for the city? Mr. Mack, would you like to come forward, please? You can be sworn in, please, and then both of you.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Boyd J. Mack, 303 Northwest 11th Avenue, Ocala, Florida.
Thank you.
I also have an address in Washington, D.C. That's 1450 Holly Street Northwest, Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Okay. Sir, are you in agreement with the city's recommendation to give you 90 days?
He said, are you in agreement with the 90 days? We are in agreement. We discussed it. We've been moving them.
Sir, wait a minute. You haven't been sworn in.
He's attorney.
He's attorney. Oh, okay. No worries.
That's why I didn't know. Legal advice, but
I didn't know.
Sir, I would like to say that the tiles on my property were dumped on there illegally.
Right.
And I have put up a camera system to try to catch the culprits if they should bring more.
Okay.
As well as alert the law enforcement to the fact that they're coming in. We're taking steps to try to prevent before the tiles were brought in. And we've been moving them out. And hopefully, and we'll be certainly going to get within 90 days, we will be able to remove those tiles and get them out of there.
All right. If everybody's agreeable, we're agreeable. Do we have a motion?
A motion. To give them the 90 days.
Motion by Donald. We have a second?
Second.
By Kyle.
Go ahead.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? It passes unanimous.
Thank you. Mr. Mack's been a friend of the city of Ocala for many years, and we appreciate his help.
I might mention to you that I negotiated a peace agreement with the Soviet Union under President Reagan, and I was the U.S. representative to the European and Aid and Economic Development Organization for 17 years. Until I got in a plane wreck, and I
let me clarify this because he's being nice. The plane crashed, and his seat flew out of the aircraft, and he's laying out on a runway somewhere. Still buckled in.
So, he must be a Republican.
And he has the pictures to prove it.
Thank you, sir, for your service.
Thank you.
If please, board, we have additional representation here this evening. For at the bottom of page 3. CUM 12-1113. By the way, Mr. Mack no longer flies. He takes the train.
Really? Don't blame him.
I don't know where that kind of look.
This case, the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Eva and Billy Merkinson and Mary Loft and Eva All. 429 Southwest 3rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure. And Section 82182, dangerous building, declare a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 2851-095-005. Legal service was obtained 6/15/2012 for the notice of violation and 8/11/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6/13/2012 for the notice of violation and 8/13/2012 for the notice of hearing. Officer Thomas requested a structural inspection here, which was completed by Inspector David Thompson, City of Ocala Building Department, which scored a score of 30 points and dilapidated. The city would require a license permit to repair or demolish the structure. And the summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this property and location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition, and Officer Thomas requested a structural evaluation by Inspector David Thompson, who responded completing an inspection which resulted in a score of 30 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida building code regulations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to work with the respondents and have a response remedy all the violation have not been fruitful or successful, and the violations remain. The staff recommendation would be to find the response guilty by the six code section 3495, 82181, and 82182, and order them to, one, cut and clean up the property, properly removing all junk and debris. Response to obtain a building permit within 30 days, bring residents up to all current Florida building code regulations within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days, with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. And three, to pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 30 days, failing which, a fine of $25 per day per violation, the city to do the work utilizing all means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. We do have a copy of the structural evaluation. It is on, I'll locate that for you. It begins on page 11. And we also have copies of the photographs of the current condition of the property as it was observed by Officer Thomas. Officer Thomas is prepared to testify to any questions that you may have.
Is it a historic site or anything? It was built in 1928.
Dwayne, is this designated in the historic area?
No.
It's outside this historic area, right? Because mm-hmm. south, it's just a few blocks outside.
Any other questions for the city? Okay, we have representation.
It does have a chair standing there, but that don't mean nothing, right?
Has a what?
A chair.
But a chair is not a home when there's no one there.
Does somebody?
If you could please be sworn in, sir.
Please raise your hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
State your name and address for the record.
Herbert Lofton, Jr. My address is 538 Northeast 23rd Circle, Apartment 1. Ocala, Florida, 34470.
Thank you.
Okay, what would you like to say?
To address the matter concerning the property before you, Eva Murkison, whose name is on this property, was my grandmother. My grandmother passed away on the 15th of June of this year. My mother, Mary Lofton, is now in the New Horizon Rehabilitation Center, convalescing. I'm serving as her power of attorney at this point. My Uncle Billy Murkison could not, he's just not geared to handle this matter. My grandmother purchased this house in 1950s, and everybody has, for several generations, has at one time or another stayed in that house. Unfortunately, it fell into dilapidated state. It was my grandmother's desire before she passed to try to restore the house before it got in the condition that we and I had been trying to keep in touch with Officer Thomas as to some things that were going on with the family. The last conversation we did have, I had alerted him that my grandmother had passed. He was not aware because I've been so consumed with everything that's going on with my mother falling ill and having to take over all of that. He wasn't aware of all of that. But our desire is to try to comply with you know, what's being put before us. We hate to see the house, you know, go, because my grandmother, that was the first house she got after she came to Ocala. She came to Ocala in 1940 when she was 25. And she was 96 years old when the law took her home. So because of the history and, you know, the and everything, and that had been a subject that had come up amongst the family about whether or not it fell under the category of historic because of the age of the house. That was something we wanted to address or consider, see, you know, what means we would need to do to try to preserve it if at all possible. But it is the wishes of the family, at least I'm speaking for me, to try to, you know, comply with what's being asked of us. It is some difficulty in obtaining someone to do it. I'm still in the process of trying to make contact with someone who was recommended to me, but I came here tonight to represent the family in the absence of my grandmother, who obviously, you know, could not be here, and my mother and the rest of the family, to try to know that it is our intent to
you know, try to do what's necessary, one way or the other.
Are you, so you're agreeable to the staff's recommendation about being able to obtain a building permit within 30 days, and then also giving 180 days to bring the structure into compliance?
Yes, sir.
You're in agreement with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you also understand that if that doesn't happen, that that they may issue an order to demolish the property?
Right. Yes.
Is that what you're...
I think we may actually be able to get it done easier for them than them, but we use the same contractor that he's in contact with, so maybe they'll be able to give him what they would give us for a price.
Okay, so, but the staff recommendation doesn't actually say that you would demolish the property if it wasn't in compliance. It just,
yeah,
it asks you to get a permit.
To do it.
Well,
to permit to repair or demolish.
Repair or to demolish it.
Right, but if neither is done.
Then the last part is telling which a fine of $25 per day in the city to do the work.
Yeah, but to do what work?
The work on this case, which would be the cleanup and the demolition of the property.
Okay, but it doesn't state that though, because I think we'd have to put in there that they would demolish the property, because we're not gonna repair it, right?
No, sir.
Okay.
So you're saying that, I mean, he's agreeing to try to get it.
Right.
I mean, it would take some time to...
Well, he just has to get the permit.
So you're in contact with the same person the city has?
And then if he has showing progress on the work on it?
No.
No,
I have not talked to anyone. The person I've talked, or tried to make contact with is a private individual in hopes of seeing if the house can be repaired.
Is that your wishes to try to repair it?
Yes, sir. And so when he asked about the obtaining the building permit, to try, you know, that was looking, they're trying to get it repaired, if at all possible, and then last case resort, you know, we have to go with demolition and we'll pursue that route. But first case was to try to see if it could be repaired.
Well, we have 30 days, you have 30 days to get the permit.
Okay.
To begin repairs.
Okay.
You have 180, once you get that permit, you have 180 days, that's 6 months to complete the repairs, to bring it into compliance.
Or to just call for a first inspection.
Right, because as long as you're making some progress on it, we'll work with you on it.
Exactly.
So, okay, so what do you guys want to do?
Make a motion that we accept the staff recommendation.
And I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion from Giorgio and a second from Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? It passes unanimous. So,
sir, can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
Did you say your uncle was Fred Murkison?
No, his name is Billy.
Billy, okay.
Billy Murkison, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 30 days,
yes,
get the permit, and
yes,
just start making some progress on it.
Yes, sir.
We'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you,
sir. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. That'll bring us up to the top of page 3, CON 12-15-14, case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy. City of Ocala versus Katia Silvestri. I probably pronounced that wrong.
Silvestri.
Silvestri, I got that word. And Branch Banking and Trust, care of Lisa Moberly. This is a location at 4523 Northeast 12th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of section 34141 through 145. Property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. The parcel ID is 2720-006-027. Legal service and legal posting was obtained as indicated in page 2 of your report, and the additional correspondence would be a copy of the Les Pennants and the Sunday's report. We would require property registration in this case. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property's violation of the city's code and it was overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Due to Officer Kennedy's work, it enabled the overgrown violation to be cleared. However, the bank has not complied with the registration requirements. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the response remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. The staff recommendation be to find the respondent guilty of violating city code section. Actually, the staff recommendation is on page 2. And I would indicate for the record that there is no representation here by the respondents this evening.
Thank you.
I make a motion. We accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Latricia. Do we have a second?
I'll second the staff recommendation.
Second by Albertine. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That would bring us to top page 4 of your agenda, CON 12-1312. The city of Ocala. And Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Daniel Longo, a location at 631 Southwest 3rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2851-100-007. Legal service was obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation, and as additional correspondence, we have a faxed in letter from a respondent. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. The staff recommendation is at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. I would point out we don't have any representation present this evening, and that the photographs accurately indicate the condition that Officer Thomas was confronted with at their location.
Property?
Yes, ma'am.
And so it has to be trimmed within 150 feet of?
300 feet from any other structure.
300 feet. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Where's the other structure?
I'd have to have Officer Thomas testify to that, but generally you can see something from the pictures, but this one here is pretty overgrown. If you look at the top of page 3, you can start to see the beginnings of the house over in the left upper corner.
See on page 6
of 2. Right. Okay, I guess he's saying he lives in New York and he won't be back in town for a while, so he's acting for 45 days.
And also in the top of page 1, you can see the structure of the adjacent house. I apologize, the bottom of page 1 on the left side of the yellow house. I think the problem for the city in waiting another 45 days to get this taken care of is that we've already been working for some time here to get this resolved, and that, you know, the neighbors have a problem with this.
45 days, we might have a frost.
When he's back.
Did another 5 or 10?
Well,
the fact that he's out of town doesn't mitigate his responsibility to either have someone take care of the property or get the property taken care of.
He claims that he's trying to. And that he can't get anybody to return his calls or give him a quote.
I believe that.
You believe that? I don't believe that.
You don't?
A lot of people want work out there.
He's supposed to be back the second week of October. It's the second week of September, so that'd be 30 days he'd be back.
It'd be a jungle then.
It's a jungle now.
I make a motion. We accept staff recommendation.
I'll second.
I have a motion from Latricia, a second from Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? I'll assume that it passed unanimous. Unanimous. You know what I mean. Next case, please.
Next.
Yes, sir. Next case is BC, just below that one, CON 12-1314. And I need just a second here to catch up with you. This is City of Ocala, Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Christopher Brian Crust, location at 615 Southwest 3rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2851-100-010. Legal service was obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation, and the summary of findings that Officer Thomas located this property upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included copies of the photographs, the current condition of the property as observed by Officer Thomas. The staff recommendation is at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation, and we're prepared to answer any questions.
Is that the building right there?
Looks like something.
I can't really tell.
Trailer or a building? I make a motion, we accept staff recommendations.
Go through this.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
Tricia, we have a second from Donald, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda, COM 12-1369. The City of Ocala, Officer James Vo versus Greg and Kim Centella. A location at 4520 Southeast 28th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3432, water collections. Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 82512, barrier required. And Section 82513, specifications for said barrier. The parcel ID is 29737-001-12. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property as indicated on page 2 of your presentation, and for additional correspondence, we have a copy of the list pendants and the voluntary dismissal and release of that list pendants. The summary of findings that Officer James Vo located this property upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondents remedy all the violations have been unsuccessful and the violations remain. As part of your presentation, we've included copies of the photograph of the condition of the property as observed by Officer Vo. Officer Vo is here prepared to answer any questions you may have. And the summary of findings of this case are in the bottom of page two of your presentation.
Is that screening intact, all the screen?
Can you address that question? The screen, I believe, is part of the problem because it's not preventing entry. He's wanting to know the screen, is it intact all the way around or is the doors open?
No,
it's
hanging in there.
It's not sufficient to meet the barrier requirement.
One of my concerns is that since it's an open water, should we do something a little quicker to get this water drained and mosquito problems? What's now?
I mean, we can do seven days, but I don't know that we're going to get it done in 7 days.
Well, it'll look good.
We usually do 7 days.
Okay.
Well, for barrier we do. Yeah. So friendly amendment to make the barrier requirement 7 days.
Seven days. Uh-huh. And I'll make that motion. I'll accept staff recommendation based on that.
With the friendly amendment.
Uh-huh.
I'll second it.
Second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 12-1434. The City of Ocala, Officer James Vo versus Jack and Katie Kelly and Homeward Residential Inc. This is the location at 3723 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3432, water collections. Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter. And Section 34-143, maintenance requirements of properties in default. The parcel ID is 2954-006-019. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We have included as part of your additional correspondence a copy of the Les Pendants, the SunBiz report, the final judgment, and a current property registration. The summary of findings that Officer James Vo responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the properties in violation of the city's code as stated above. Additional investigation revealed the properties in foreclosure and Officer James Vo added the bank to the case. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Vo is prepared to answer any questions you may have. And we have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Okay. Let the record note that there's nobody here to represent the respondent.
That pool is not secure, right? There's no...
I would have to refer to Officer Bo.
The perimeter of the property is surrounded by a fence, so I don't think there's a barrier.
Looks like there's an opening in that fence, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think.
8-7-2012.
glad I don't live around
where's that house.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that fence goes back or not. You know what I mean? It goes straight back from there.
I don't think so.
The officer testified that the barrier's in place.
The barrier is in place in there?
Yes, sir. I didn't see any openings. It's all fenced in.
Okay.
I think it might just be the angle we're looking at it.
So that this is not open here? There's a fence here?
It must go back. You know, we just can't see it because we're looking at this one.
So this one?
All right.
I'll make a motion to accept staff with the amendment, friendly amendment, that we, since there's water collection involved, we have this done within 7 days.
Yep, I was looking at.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
So you want everything done within 7 days or just the pool barrier?
Just the water collection.
The water collection.
That'll bring us to the middle of page 5. And I would point out that the same respondents will be involved in the next 4 cases. I would also point out for the record that these respondents are not here to testify in these cases. And I don't know if there's a way for me to expedite this with the board's attorney. I would say that our testimony is the same in all of the next 4 cases.
So the same violation?
The same violation, same respondents, same testimony.
Just do all the ones. Yeah, let's just refer to all 4 case numbers.
So for the record, I'll state the case numbers.
Yes, please.
CUN 12-1467, Officer James Vo. CUN 12-1468, CUN 12-1470, and CUN 12-1471. The respondents are Sarah B. Clays and James R. Clays, Taylor Bean and Whitaker Mortgage Corporation, the new one. And the location of all 4 cases is the 700 block of Southeast 9th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The violation is section 34-141 through 145, property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. I'm going to read all 3 parcel ID numbers, if it pleases the board.
Are there 3 or 4?
It's
4. 4 of them. The parcel ID numbers are 2911-047-000, 2911-046-000, 2911-044-000, and 2911-043-000. Legal service was obtained on all 4 properties, as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We have copies of the Les Bendens and the Sundez reports on all 4 properties. When we were requiring property registration on all 4 properties. Officer James Vo located these properties and upon arrival observed they're in violation of the city's code and that they were overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the properties in foreclosure. Officer Vo added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Vo enabled the overgrown conditions and violation to be cleared up. However, the bank has not complied with the registration requirements. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Our staff recommendation is at the bottom of page 2 of each one of the cases, and it's essentially the same.
I make a motion we accept staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion by Giorgio, a second by Donald, that we accept staff recommendation in each of the 4 cases. Do we have call the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us up to the petitions portion of your agenda. And we have 2 of them that are from the same respondent. And essentially what they're in the case numbers are COM 9-1595 and COM 11-2639. Now, these were brought before the board previously. The board agreed to a reduction and through a mix-up of the bank, they're claiming that we didn't call them and tell them that the board approved it, but technically we require them to find out that the board approved or disapproved. The bottom line is that they're requesting for the board to extend their period that was previously granted by the board with the same consideration for the reduction of fines. the city is in agreement due to this mix-up here, and of course, we think it's in the best interest of the city for the board to extend this timeframe as they've requested for them to get this all done, get these properties sold back in productive condition for the city.
Okay, so you want the basically the same thing we did on August 9th?
Yes, sir.
And for 14 days?
Yes, sir.
And the bank's going to know about it this time?
Well,
you're hoping they call.
I'm thinking that we're going to make sure they know about it.
Well,
this
I
time.
Told her to make sure and call me on the 15th. I mean, tomorrow, the
okay.
14th. So, whether they do it or not.
All right, I'm okay with it. If you guys are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's have a motion. And motion approved. Do we have a motion approved?
Can I make a motion? We approve it.
Okay. We have a motion approved by Giorgio. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Kyle. Okay. I just write myself a note. So. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
The next petition is from Joe Brown as trustee. Joe Calbro, Profit Sharing Trust. It's COM 112344. The city agrees to reduce this to the city's costs, which he has already paid prior to this. He has sold the property. There were some technicalities involved in his understanding of selling the property and making the city aware of a sale of a property that is under order by the board.
Okay, so you're authorizing a reduction to
the city
fees
would
paid?
Respectfully request that we approve this petition to reduce to the city's costs, which he has already paid. In other
okay.
words, we'd be dropping the fine. However, I would point out to the board that the new owner of this property has been noticed, who lives in Atlanta, and has not complied with this either. So I'm assuming that within the time specified in that case, we are going to demolish and clean up this property, and
well,
there will result in a lien.
My problem with this is that he's selling a property. He probably didn't tell them that this was, well, I guess it's their responsibility to check. But he's asking us for a reduction, knowing that there's a problem. He sold it with the problem, and now the new owners have the problem. Why are we giving him a reduction?
Well, in this situation.
What has he done to rectify the problem,
right.
I guess is my question.
In this situation, let's say that he came across this violation, in my opinion, he's not here to represent himself, but
mm-hmm.
we did have conversation in the city manager's office with the city attorney's involvement, Jimmy Gooding. And in my understanding of the situation, he had a timing issue here. He had the property under contract for sale. The property sold on the same exact day that the city's order was to be completed.
To be completed, okay.
Correct. So he had a little bit of time there, but he was under the impression that this new person was going to take care of the issue on the property. So he sold it to this new person for a very low price with the understanding that they were going to take care of it. Where he ran afoul with the city's code is that the code requires you to notify our office if you have a property in sale that's under an order
mm-hmm.
of the board or under even a violation by a code officer.
Mm-hmm.
He did not comply with that, and that's agreed. He won't do that anymore. but the problem for us was that he technically sold the property prior to
completing
the time frame. Yeah,
right.
So
he was aware of the issue, aware of the problem, and didn't complete it. Did you see a letter where he basically punted this on to the new owner? Is there
well,
some
no.
agreement?
Then,
it wasn't
what,
in writing?
And then, no. And what happened was when he became aware of this situation through his attorney, they did make the proper notification. And what state law requires us to do after the notification is made is to notice the new owner.
Right.
So, and then after we notice them, we have to give them a period of time to correct, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to bring them before the board or the magistrate. In this case, it was closer to go to the magistrate time frame wise.
But how many days did he have to correct us when he found out it needed to be completed on the day that he sold? He knew about this for how many days?
About almost a month. All, not even a whole month, about a month.
So he had a month's notice to fix the problem before he sold it, rather than punt it on to the new owners. Now we've got to look at this.
And I think that his agreement to pay all of our costs involved in this so far helps me.
So you're saying you're dropping the fee, the fine, I'm sorry?
Well, that's what we're trying to do, is to just drop the fine on him.
The fee?
Yeah. He did pay our costs. He did pay for the cost of the asbestos inspection, and he's leaving it up to the new owner to resolve the issue, which, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of people do that with rundown properties in the city. I think either way, we would have been taking care of this property. We would have been demolishing it if he owned it, and we were going to be demolishing it if the new person owns it. So,
right, but would we have been demolishing it if he owned it?
I think we would have. I don't think he would have.
He made a profit on it.
Yeah, he sold it for, I don't know that he did. I think he
Mr. Brown makes profits. He does not buy houses to lose
money. He indicated that he sold it for $3,000, the cost of the property. I don't have a way to know that independently, but working through the city attorney's office, they apparently verified this information, and they came upon this agreement, which we support.
Okay.
Okay.
City supports it. Do we have a motion?
I think a motion we accept.
Motion to accept.
I'll second.
How about Giorgio? Second by Donald. All in favor? Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Passes 5-1.
That'll bring us to old business, the consent agenda for non-compliance hearing. I would indicate that in the middle of page 7, we have cases listed on the consent agenda by case number, and that we have an affidavit of non-compliance in all of these cases for the reasons stated. We would respectfully request a motion of the board to proceed with the board and magistrate's previous orders in these cases.
We have a motion?
Motion to accept.
Motion by Donald. We have a second?
Second.
Second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
The city would beg upon the board to give us another motion to accept all evidence, testimonies, and presentations this evening into the record.
I make a motion we accept.
Motion by Giorgio.
A second.
Second by Latricia. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. City rests their presentation this evening. I want to point out that board member Bruce Laird had 3 baby girls.
Wow.
Oh,
and they're all healthy. 30 toes and fingers. And
when did that happen?
Tuesday.
That's when the sign went up in the front yard. Yeah. Tuesday morning.
Tuesday. The illegal sign?
Hey, Chip.
Did we hear
that COM 11-2344 on page 7?
Yes,
that's the one.
That's the petition we just did?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Why do I have 3 petitions?
That was the thing. Right?
We have code boarded them at the last magistrate hearing, and it was hysterical. Mr. Amate's conscience was shocked.
All right, any other comments, any other discussion? Okay, meeting adjourned.
7 o'clock.
All right, so that clock's fast. All right, I got it.
So what we reduced, the second one to fees paid, right?
Yeah. I think that's pretty nice. So we'll pump that over to somebody else.
That's the problem. He doesn't have any fines. He's going to have an opportunity.
I mean, you go and buy something and then somebody will now potentially have a fine.
I just put reduced the fees paid.